Coming up on today's show.
I do believe that the Catholic Church is going in the right direction. It still has ways to go. One of my favorite thoughts is, what is the Catholic Church going to be like 200 years from now? What's going to be new? Because it's not going to stand still.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. Either way, they'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Additionally, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that's immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. Incidentally, if you heard last week's interview with Christy Murray, who talked about healing that she experienced going to Lourdes, she emailed me a picture from when she was there. I only posted that in the Facebook group. So that is an example of exclusive content for people who are members in there. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Controversy sells, and so the media is quick to tell us all about when an athlete runs afoul of the law. It's unfortunate that there does not seem to be equal reporting when it comes to all the good that so many athletes are doing. They have charities, they are active in the community, they sometimes even initiate gestures intentionally under the radar. Those are role models. That is making a difference, meaning helping out your fellow man the way that rushing for 1,000 yards or scoring 50 goals cannot. In our faith life, when we live like Jesus and we pay it forward at the drive-through window, or we show up at church with clothing or food or whatever specific tangible items are being requested, we are being obedient and presumably doing it for the impact it will have and not to get the credit. After all, we know that our reward will be in heaven. Hitting home runs at a record pace does not have that kind of ending. In the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says, quote, "Whoever confers benefits will be amply enriched, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed," end quote. Or I also saw it written as, quote, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was selected by the Denver Broncos in the third round of the NFL draft and went on to play four seasons in the pros, first with the San Diego Chargers and then three with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a linebacker who had played collegiately for 4 years at the University of Notre Dame, with the Fighting Irish being AP poll national champions his third season with the team. After his senior year, he played in the Coaches All-America game. He even appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine. During his days as an athlete, he even played two football games in Mexico City. He later received his degree from Harvard Law School. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Drew Mihalik.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure, Drew. Great to have you. Thanks for making time for this. I just listed off Denver, San Diego, Philadelphia, and of course, South Bend, Indiana. But Drew, before all that moving around, where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
Well, born in Albany, New York, raised outside New York City, and I'm the youngest of three boys.
Okay. I know that you are a cradle Catholic, but just tell us about the faith environment in your house when you were a young boy. How much importance was put on the faith or maybe not put on the faith?
Well, my parents were members of a Cana group where they had visitors, I think it was weekly, that came over to discuss Catholic issues. The big day in my life as a child was May 7th, 1960. That's the day I received First Holy Communion. And then at age 11, as a member of the Cub Scouts, I got, along with several others, something called the Parvuli Dei Award. That's going to Mass for 21 consecutive days, which for me was a real effort because I had to get up real early and walk to church and then walk back and then go to school. But a very Catholic household growing up.
Was that Catholic school that you were going to?
You know what? I didn't go to Catholic school, and neither did my brother, and he wound up a Catholic priest. The public school was literally in our backyard, and so that was just a little bit too good to pass up.
I don't blame you, especially being in Albany, New York, where there were cold and snow to deal with, and the shorter the walk, the better.
Yeah.
Tell us about something you say you still remember to this day that took place at your confirmation.
Well, I remember it was at St. Mary's Church in Dumont, New Jersey, and the Archbishop was there, and he was firing questions to make sure that we were worthy. And I'll always remember, he said, "Okay, what is the chief teaching about Jesus Christ by the Catholic Church?" And I had studied, we all had studied the Baltimore Catechism so that we knew every answer. So I raised my hand, and he actually called on me, and I said, "The chief teaching about Jesus Christ of the Catholic Church is that he is God made man." And he said, "That's right." Now the thing is, I don't want to come across as somebody that's going to be excommunicated from your show, but I would have added a corollary today. And it goes a little bit beyond the pure doctrine of the Catholic faith, but I would have said, and the corollary is that Mary was the manifestation of God's daughter herself. And I don't think that's a stretch, given how many Hail Marys we say, but I think her place is actually more special than we even give her credit for. I maintain that belief even today.
Yeah, without even looking at the list, just off the top of my head, this is at least 3 weeks in a row now, and you would think that these episodes were being released in the month of May because it's just so amazing how much, Drew, people like yourself have been coming on this show and really giving Mary her due the way you just did. So yes, clearly you're right. We do need to hold her up even more than some of the other denominations accuse us of already doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, and one of the things you mentioned, that I had two football games in Mexico City. I think one was with the University of Notre Dame. You'll get a kick out of this. We went to Mexico City and played the Mexican All-Stars at Notre Dame my freshman year, and we beat them 81-0. Then the second time, it might have been the first NFL game ever outside the country. We played the New Orleans Saints with Archie Manning at quarterback, and we actually won that game. But that was special to me because that's where Our Lady of Guadalupe, the image that really converted the entire country of Mexico from Juan Diego. And that image is on my phone. That's my screen because I think that's the most phenomenal thing that nobody has figured out. I mean, it's an image of Mary that was on inside the cloak of this guy named Juan. I think he's a saint now. And no one can figure out how it was made. It wasn't paint, and it was made 500 years ago, and it hasn't deteriorated. And it is on display at Mexico City, but it's the only thing that you can say is it's beyond our senses. It's a miracle, and that's why I have it on my phone. Yeah.
And audience, go back and listen to the interview from 2 weeks ago if you didn't hear it with Carolina Morelli. She told an amazing, amazing story about the Mother Mary, but also about Our Lady of Guadalupe. Drew, before we start getting into your college football and NFL playing days, what about when you were a kid? How and when did you get started into playing sports? And did you play anything else besides football?
Oh, I was football, basketball, and baseball all the way. In fact, my original ambition was to be a New York Yankee. I was a good left-handed pitcher. But, you know, I went to high school. We had moved to Michigan. I went to a high school, and our coach, Ron Holland, was probably the best in the state at that time. And they had a great football program. And so I wound up being the All-State quarterback and player of the year in the state of Michigan. And then it was on to Notre Dame. When I was in fifth grade, my ambition was always to go to Notre Dame, you know, the nation's Catholic university that had, at that time, the number one football team and the number one football tradition. But the other sports kind of fell aside, and football was the sport that I gravitated toward, and all the athleticness that I learned in other sports really did help me in football. So it was a good match.
It is interesting, though, that you did have such an interest in baseball and envisioned playing for the Yankees and then ended up being a quarterback, and yet by the time you got to the pros, neither of those were the case. You weren't playing baseball for the Yankees. You weren't a quarterback. But I just want to stay with where we are right now first, because in the lead-up today, you had told me that it was your life's ambition to attend Notre Dame. Was it for Catholic reasons? Was it just because of the football? Was it both? And by the way, did you end up there on an athletic scholarship? Just tell us about your years at Notre Dame spiritually and football-wise.
Well, yes, the answer, Bruce, is both spiritually and athletically. There was no other school to Notre Dame. Actually, if I didn't get a scholarship, I did get a scholarship full ride to Notre Dame. Had I not, there were other schools. But believe it or not, I was probably going to go to West Point if I didn't go to Notre Dame. That's the only other school that has an impeccable tradition, I think, in this country. And it might even be better than the Notre Dame. I mean, you got people like Eisenhower, MacArthur, Robert E. Lee. You've got, you know, unbelievable generals that attended that school going back to the early 1800s. And so I was, the West Point offensive coordinator said, my senior year in high school, he goes, you could start for us right now at quarterback.
Wow.
But I went to Notre Dame, and after my freshman year, the coach said, well, you can be seventh team quarterback, or you can have a really good chance to start at linebacker. And I wound up starting at linebacker. So it was a good switch. It wasn't easy because I really was not I played defense in high school, but frankly, I kind of watched everybody else make tackles and, and piled on when I could. But I couldn't do that at Notre Dame, obviously. I had to actually earn my keep. But, you know, we won the national championship in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama in 1973. I did appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated that year, our national championship year, tackling Anthony Davis of USC in the big game that we beat them at home. And in the Sugar Bowl, it was 24-23. We beat Alabama in the most exciting game I've ever played in my life.
Wow.
And at the end of the game, we were the undefeated national champions.
Wow.
And we just had a reunion of 50 years a year ago. 81 teammates showed up, which was phenomenal. Yeah, it was a really great team.
But I wonder, when that transition was being made and you were being told you could be, you know, the seventh string quarterback, or you can switch to linebacker, because you were at Notre Dame and because you were so devoted to your Catholic faith, was there any, I'm going to pray about this and ask God, why did you bring me to Notre Dame? You know, I'm devoted to my Catholic faith. You blessed me with these talents of being a quarterback, and now it's being taken away from me. I'm being asked to do something else. Or is that me just kind of projecting my ministry onto this and hoping maybe that's what you did?
Well, yes and no. Yes, there was that. But frankly, I did what any little kid would do. I was 18 years old. I called my mom and said, you know, what do you think I should do? And, you know, we talked about it. And, you know, my mom was somebody that we, you know, as a kid, you know, she taught me to get down on my knees next to my bed and say my night prayers. And, you know, we talked, and she said, well, why don't you see how you can do on that? And so I was kind of the obedient son and took her advice. And she was a great role model. I mean, she used to do household chores, saying Hail Marys out loud, you know, every morning, you know, before I went to school. And so I really did grow up in that environment. And, you know, frankly, it worked for her. She just died a year ago at age 102.
Oh.
So she did all right. And she was actually pretty healthy at 102. And if you looked at her, she looked like she was 75. So she did well.
Amazing, amazing. And I'm sorry, folks, I know I'm just as anxious as you are to hear about Drew's playing days in the NFL, but I did not want to miss out on what you've heard so far. The background setting contributes to the whole story. So now we're up to where I can turn towards what I'm sure was a career milestone that I'm sure he still remembers as though it was yesterday, meaning getting drafted by the Denver Broncos. I do need to mention, though, that Jose Pulido's book went to Michael from North Carolina. If you've been listening the last few weeks, you heard me talking about that In fact, I even posted a picture last week on Catholic Sports Radio social media of me packing up and mailing out the book to Michael. This life is not about me, it's about him. I'm pointing up to heaven. So I'd love getting to, in this case, talk about a listener, and by extension, a recent guest. Jose Pulido is who I interviewed 3 weeks ago on this show. And last week, you heard me mentioning Carolina Morelli, who I just mentioned a little bit ago in the context of Our Lady of Guadalupe. 2 weeks ago was my interview with her, and I was saying last week that she was kind enough to support my ministry through the Buy Me a Coffee option. None of this is possible without the guests and the audience. I will also add that I've had a few people tell me, you should go to this event, or you should go set up a table for Catholic Sports Radio at this place, or you should see if you could go speak at such and such a place. And they're all good ideas, but they all cost money. It's a real catch-22 because I am so interested in growing the audience and bringing Catholic Sports Radio to more people who don't know about it and would enjoy it and could benefit from the testimony being shared by all the great guests week after week. The challenge, though, is funding all of this. Just like we need to build up the church, my prayer is that we can rally together as a team and put Catholic Sports Radio on a path where it can flourish. And yes, I can do things like attend events and meet more brothers and sisters in Christ in person and share with them about the amazing witness that is the Catholic Sports Radio ministry, meaning guest interviews, so that they too can be moved closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Help me make that possible. Please pray about including Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. During Lent, you will hear about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, so perhaps this is what moves you to say, yes, I like what Bruce is doing. I believe in the mix of faith and sports. I want to help keep it going and growing. I'm going to make a financial contribution. As guests and listeners have done in the past, you can utilize the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check. With your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution. Or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Drew, take us back to 1975 because I'm wondering how prayerful you were as your pro career started off with ups and downs, meaning getting drafted but being waived and then being claimed. Denver, San Diego.
Yeah, it really was an up and down experience. As a third round pick of the Broncos, I felt like I was the richest kid in America with a $30,000 bonus in 1975. But for whatever reason, the head coach of the Broncos just was not impressed by me. He waived me, meaning he released me, and the very next day the San Diego Chargers picked me up. And it was like dying and going to heaven. You know, as you know, where you grew up and where I grew up, you know, we know what winters are like and what fall is like. But going to San Diego in the fall was an unbelievable experience. And for my very first game that I played at San Diego, I attended one of these FCA meetings in Houston. And the speaker, it wasn't Joel Osteen, but it might have been his dad. It was the most inspiring speech I think I've ever heard. Wow. About how we were all in blood covenant with God. And I was so psyched. They put me into the game, and on the very first play, I made an interception. So it was a great start. I felt like I could do no wrong. But in San Diego, it was fun. I got to play and actually started a game against one of my heroes, Joe Namath of the New York Jets.
Whoa.
Then I got traded. My linebacker coach of the Chargers had transferred to the Philadelphia Eagles the next year, and so he kind of brought me along with him. And then I was with the Eagles for actually 4 years and wound up starting for 2 years on a team that went to the playoffs my final year, and our defense was rated number 7 in the NFL. We were, of course, we were no match for the Pittsburgh Steelers at that time, or nor the Dallas Cowboys, but we were pretty good. And one of the things I absolutely loved was And it didn't happen that often because the defense was rarely introduced. But a lot of times when defense was introduced and I was starting, is to run out, you know, through the goalposts into the middle of the field as they announce your name. And I had always visualized that as a little kid. It was kind of fun to do it as an adult. You know, it was, you know, a great experience. I wouldn't trade it. And the truth is, I'm glad I didn't play longer than I did, because it's such a rough game that a lot of people that play longer have much more serious injuries or deteriorations than I have. I'm still beat up, but I can imagine how bad I might have been had I played, you know, 10 years instead of, you know, 4 years, and then my fifth year was on injured reserve. But, you know, it was enough for an NFL pension, which certainly comes in handy now, and I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. And the Philadelphia Eagles, for what it's worth, was the equivalent of the Catholic team in the NFL. Amon Sr. traveled with us and held mass, you know, before the games, and the whole administrative staff was Catholic.
Wow.
And it wasn't that much different than Notre Dame.
Tell me this, because I know you're going to remember for sure. When you mentioned that first game with the Chargers, that you were so excited you ran in the game and you got an interception, who was the quarterback that threw the ball that you picked off?
Actually, it was Lynn Dickey, if you remember his name. He was a college quarterback from Kansas that I had imitated my senior year in high school as a quarterback. And it was just a thrill. It felt like I was intercepting myself. But it was, I've never been so excited to play in the NFL. And you almost get the thought, gee, this is easy. One play, one interception. It was fun.
So who was that opponent, though? Who was he the quarterback for at that time?
That was the Houston Oilers.
Houston Oilers.
And
okay.
It was in the Houston Astrodome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is kind of funny. This is kind of negative. But I remember talking to a teammate, because I was a big NFL fan, and it was the Chargers against Houston. I was on the Chargers. And I said to my teammate, I said, you know, if this game were on TV, I probably wouldn't watch it because neither team was that good, you know, but at any rate, we played.
You mentioned before about the game in Mexico City, too, actually, and mentioned about Our Lady of Guadalupe, but you told me in the lead up to today that you visited the Medjugorje Catholic Church. When was that? Under what circumstances? And just tell us about your experience with that visit.
Well, that was a visit I made with my daughter, Elizabeth. And we just traveled there specifically to go to Medjugorje. That's where my ethnic roots are, in Croatia, although I think Medjugorje is actually in Bosnia. But it's like right next door. And I'm a believer that those apparitions that still occur monthly are legitimate. It hasn't been formally acknowledged by the Catholic Church, but there's no reason not to believe that these people are getting visited by our Blessed Mother each month. With direction, there's nothing controversial about the message. The message is mostly about peace and prayer. And there's never been a greater time for that, given what's going on in the world, if you look at you know, Ukraine and Palestine. But her message resonates with me. I look forward to it every month on the website. I think it's Medjugorje.org. And I look forward to that message from our Blessed Mother. And it was very meaningful to be there.
When was this that you and your daughter went?
This is about a decade ago. Yeah, it's about a decade ago. And, you know, I think it's special that she appeared, you know, in the land of my ancestors, mm-hmm. which I think is, you know, a holy place.
Well, let's go back to football, because I'm interested. You were mentioning before that the Eagles were a very Catholic team. But again, this was the mid to late 1970s. Was there much outward sign of faith in the NFL back in your playing days, or was it taboo and guys kept it to themselves? Nowadays, the athletes seem to have no problem being open about their love of God. And I wonder if you feel that's something that maybe evolved over time, or if in fact guys did share their faith back then.
Well, there were very active Fellowship of Christian Athletes on every team, and everybody was encouraged. Anytime somebody mentioned their faith on a post-game interview, the leaders of the FCA would really salute that and commend it. And so it was encouraged to stand up for your faith. And it was a great community of spirit with those that shared the Christian faith. I've got to say it was more Christian than Catholic.
Sure, sure.
Frankly, it was pure Bible. That's why inherently I think the Catholics have a richer tradition than the Protestants, in that there's a lot of Catholic doctrine that I really like. For example, it's salute to our Blessed Mother that you really don't have in the other Christian religions, but you do have in the Catholic Church. And so it's kind of those traditions and doctrines that the Catholic Church went a little bit beyond the exact words of the New Testament. And I do believe that the Catholic Church is going in the right direction. It still has ways to go. One of my favorite thoughts is, what is the Catholic Church going to be like 200 years from now? What's going to be new? Because it's not going to stand still. And obviously, there's going to be women priests, for sure. There's obviously going to be popes, maybe even in our lifetime, from all different countries and all different ethnicities of the world. But in terms of our knowledge of God and of the Holy Family, I think it's developing. And I just try to project, what will our religion look like in 200 years? And I'm very positive that, frankly, that the Holy Spirit will guide the church and the rest of us into something that's better than where we are now.
I actually thought that you were going to make a statement about what you see in the New Testament. There's something that you had mentioned to me in the lead up to our conversation today and the way that you interpret those.
Well, in the New Testament, I take literally the statement by Jesus Christ that prayer can move mountains. I don't think we've begun to understand the power of prayer. I think it's a gift. You can correlate it with one of my favorite words in the English language, and that word is entanglement. Entanglement is what Einstein called spooky science. And all that means is that every part, no matter where it is connected to every other part. And I do think that that applies to prayer, in that we are connected to God, we are connected to our ancestors, we are connected to everything. And if we're all thinking in the same way, there's nothing more powerful than the entire creation moving in the same direction to get things done. So I really think that prayer can do unbelievable things. I think it's timeless. So like when I pray to a saint, I pray to, with, and for, because I think that somehow that accrues to that particular saint that I'm praying to and can help him or her. I love the word entanglement because I think it not only applies to science, but I think it applies to religion too.
Yeah, and as you're saying all that, the picture I'm getting in my head is everybody holding hands across the aisle during the Our Father at Mass, and we are the church, we are the body of Christ, and that is a great picture of what you just described.
It is. Yeah, it is. And I don't think it's been emphasized enough, and I think that will grow in understanding, because I honestly think we've been given a power that is so untapped that we can really literally make mountains move. And, you know, the prayers for peace and the prayers for children and the prayers for the triumph of good over evil, you know, if enough people are doing it and doing it in unison, communion, union, there's no stopping it. I mean, there's nothing that can hold that back.
I love it. I love it. Let's close by having you share about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Well, we've got three kids, and we've been married 47 years.
Whoa.
She's a Notre Damer as well. Yeah. And my kids are all grown. I've got five grandkids. They're all under three. And my brother is a Catholic priest in San Antonio for the military. He's the chaplain of the bases down there for the Air Force. And he's been a great influence on my life as well.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Drew, this was terrific. So glad that you could be on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you so much. God bless you and your family.
It's been a pleasure, Bruce.
Audience, it's fitting, as a nod to all of Drew's years playing football, that we close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, O God, for giving me a body which is fit and strong, and for making me able to use it well. In my training, help me never to shrink the discipline which I know that I need and that I ought to accept. In my leisure and in my pleasure, help me never to allow myself any indulgence which would make me less fit than I ought to be. When I compete with others, help me, win or lose, to play fair. When I win, keep me from boasting. When I lose, keep me from making excuses. Keep me from being conceited when I succeed and from being sulky when I fail. And help me always with goodwill congratulate a better man who beat me. Help me so to live that I will always have a healthy body and a healthy mind. This I ask for your love's sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.